Good evening. It is good to see each and every one of you here tonight for our Christmas Eve service. First, let me welcome all of you, including our youngest ones. My kids are here too. I tried to convince them to come up here with me, but they're playing shy tonight. But know that we understand our children are full of excitement and joy and energy that just cannot be bottled up. And so here are a few things that might help you. Over here in the back, underneath this last pew on this side, there are lots of toys, baby dolls and puppets and all kinds of things. So if we need a break, here's my little one. So if your little one would like to go back there at any point, we'd love for them to do that. Also in the back, directly in front of me, there are some coloring sheets and some colored pencils and lots of pipe cleaners. The pipe cleaners, we would love for you to make us something. Whether you're making us the manger scene, or you're making us an angel or a star, we would love for you to make us something. And you can take it with you, or you can leave it on that table back there, and you might see it again next Sunday morning. But we would love for you to be an artist tonight while you worship. And know that the fidgets and the noises will not bother us one bit. We love hearing them. We love knowing that our children are with us tonight. If you are a guest with us, welcome. We are glad that you are here. You will find in the pew racks in front of you a contact card, a welcome card. If you feel so led, we'd love for you to fill that out and place it in our offering plate when it is passed a little later this evening. We will be doing communion a little later in the service. You'll have an opportunity to come to the front and practice communion by intinction, where you take the bread and dip it in the cup and eat it from there. And our table is open to anyone and everyone who would like to come forward. And we'd love to have you. And I think that's it. Welcome. Let us worship together.
Something we will experience later during this candle lighting service. 4 weeks ago, we began our journey toward Christmas, and we lit the first candle of Advent. By the light of that first candle, we were reminded to have expectancy in our journey. We then lit the second candle that reminded us of the discipline of waiting. Being attentive is a continual theme of the gospel message. Last Sunday, we lit the third candle, the candle of joy. We considered how joy springs out of sorrow. A season of weeping for God's people would one day give way to the hope of the promised Messiah. This morning, we lit the fourth candle in our Advent journey. By the light of this candle, we were led to wonder. We take our place with the shepherds, angels, Mary and Joseph, and are led to awe at the wonder of this story, God coming in the form of the Christ child. Tonight, we light the Christ candle to celebrate the end of our Advent journey and the arrival of Christ in Christmas. Let us remember how our Savior came once as a lowly baby, that the world through him might be saved, and how he will return one day in glory.
We are assured in the words of the Gospel of John. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for sending Christ to dwell among us. We ask that as we wait for all your promises to come true and for Christ to come again, that you would remain present with us. Help us today and every day to offer you our worship, to hear your word, and to share in the celebration of Christ's coming with each other. We ask it in the name of the one who was born in Bethlehem. Amen.
Light of the world, we have watched for any glimmer of hope to know that your presence is with us. We have waited patiently for your peace. We have wept as we feared that you might forget us. And we have wondered at the amazing mystery that is the birth of the Christ child. That to a young girl is born Emmanuel. Might we rejoice, knowing that God is with us through the Holy Spirit, for light has come into all the world, bringing the grace and peace of God the Father to us through God the Son, in whose holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Other children out there, I would love for you to come up front and join me. Hi, friends. Mommies and daddies and grandmas and grandpas can come too. It's okay. This morning, I told our church that one of the things that my family does a lot as we get ready for Christmas is read stories together. You know what else we do a lot of? Watching movies. And one of our favorite Christmas movies is the Charlie Brown Christmas movie. You know, where Charlie Brown is the director of the play and he's trying to get his friends ready to do the Christmas play, but his friends just want to dance and goof off and be silly, and they won't ever be serious. And so Charlie Brown takes off to get everybody in the Christmas spirit, and he goes and gets a Christmas tree. Kind of a dinky one, right? They wanted him to come back with a fancy big aluminum tree, but he came back with a little bitty tree. And he got so frustrated, and he said, "Doesn't anyone know what Christmas is about?" And Linus said, "What?" I'll tell you. He said, "I know what Christmas is about." And he started saying the words from the Bible. I'm going to start a little bit sooner than Linus did, though, okay? It says, in those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And this is where Lina starts. He says, in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for see, I bring you good news of great joy to all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger. And suddenly with the angel was a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. And so they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. What had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured these words, and she pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. And you know what I never noticed until this year? What does Linus always have with him in all the Charlie Brown movies and all the Charlie Brown stories? His blanket, that is right. He holds that blanket all the time, right? But when Linus starts talking about the angels and when the angels say, do not be afraid, do you know what Linus does? He lets go of that blanket. It's like he knows that God's love is so big that he doesn't even need that security blanket. Linus put his blanket down because he knew that God loved him and that God sent Jesus for him, just like God sent Jesus for you. I want to ask you a favor tonight. Can you help me? In just a minute, we're going to get up here. And we would love for you to help us sing Away in a Manger, kind of like our prayer and our gift to God to say thank you for Jesus. Can you do that? We've got people that'll help you. Okay, let's get up. Can you stand up? And we'll help you get up here, and we're going to sing together, okay?
the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers."
Against Hunger, formerly known as Stop Hunger Now, is an international hunger relief organization that distributes food and life-changing aid to the world's most vulnerable people. Our offering this evening will pay the expenses of our Rise Against Hunger project to package meals for people living in hunger around the world. Let us pray. God of Christmas, who gave us a gift we could never repay, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son. You have shown mercy and compassion to us. Help us to show compassion to others. We remember the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that the wise men brought to honor the Christ child. Please accept our gifts of copper, silver, and paper, and use them to feed the hungry. In the name of Christ, amen.
We come to this table to remember. To remember Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave his very body, his very own life as an offering for us. We come to this table, and usually we remember a very adult Jesus. Jesus the teacher, Jesus the healer, Jesus the one who mediated and calmed the storms of nature and even the storms of heart. But we come to this table on Christmas Eve. And so tonight we also remember Jesus the child, a baby born in Bethlehem, a baby born to his particular mother, Mary. Mary, who had relatives, Elizabeth and Zechariah, cousins, who, as this young boy Jesus grew up, probably popped by for his birthdays and for the holidays. Who knows, maybe even on some of those holidays they brought gifts. And even though he knew he would never wear that style or color of sweater, he was Jesus. So he thanked them. He thanked them because a gift is a gift, even to the Savior of the world. You see, this Jesus grew to be a man, but he was a child. As a boy, he grew up with his cousin, John, Elizabeth's son. I can only imagine when I look at the stories of John the Baptizer and Jesus the Christ that those had to be two wild boys. The kind of boys that church legends are made of. Their antics in worship, their questions in Sunday school, their energy and their drive. There is no quiet stillness to these two boys. See, these are exceptional boys. These are crazy, amazing boys of hope. Hope played out and hope made real. We need a little hope in our world today. All is not well. We need a hope born in change. We generally look for change in the hopes of our future to be played out in places of power, in courtrooms, or in bank room offices, or in legislatures and conference rooms. But we come to this table to remember that when God begins to turn the whole world upside down, when God is looking to enact hopeful change, God turns to a maternity ward of sorts tucked away in the village of Hebron, where faithful women pray and praise the mighty one who has done great things. God turns to perhaps two of the most least powerful people in all of Israel, an older, childless woman, Elizabeth, and her teenage cousin, Mary. And these two women kick off the revolution of the gospel, not with battle plans or logistical planning or resource acquisition, but the revolution of God begins with hope. And in the story, it begins with a song. You see, when these two pregnant women got together, they did more than chat about the radical changes that were happening in their lives and in their very bodies. They pointed to the radical change coming about in history, changes that the child Elizabeth was carrying would announce to the whole world, and the child that Mary was carrying would bring to fruition. Luke tells us that when the pregnant, unwed Mary shows up on Elizabeth's doorstep, Elizabeth breaks her silence and her seclusion, and she blesses Mary. She blesses her twice, a blessing. Can you only imagine what that meant to this teenage girl caught up in a wild narrative of God? A girl who is probably running, looking for a little space and safety. Remember that women got killed for doing things like turning up pregnant with no husband. When Mary arrives at Elizabeth's house, there isn't judgment. There's no criticism. The flood of accusations and inquisitions cease. She is greeted with blessing. Elizabeth blesses Mary, and in the freedom of blessing, Mary begins to sing. She sings that great Magnificat that we have just heard read. Mary gives hope to the character and voice and shape of this change-filled hope of God. It will be an all-out reversal of the status quo, a gospel revolution that would scatter the proud and bring down the powerful, lift up the lowly and send the rich empty away, fill the hungry with all good things. And it began with a song that I'm sure these two women both knew, a song that began with their ancestor Hannah, the mother of Samuel, a song rooted in their beliefs and in their hopes. Over the next few months, these two women lived together. They laughed together, they sang together, they baked bread, they cleaned house, they cried together. I'm sure they cried because pregnant women cry a lot, or maybe it was just me. Together in that space between Elizabeth's blessing and Mary's song, the two figured out how they would be moms, how they would mother and teach their sons. And what did their boys learn? Those two boys learned that God has no intention of tolerating injustice and the greed of this world on a permanent basis. I can imagine that Mary and Elizabeth taught these two boys that it angers God when poor people have no food to eat. I can imagine that they taught their children that when the powerful of this earth push around the weak just because they can, that God becomes indignant. I can imagine that these two boys were taught from the very beginning that nothing is impossible with God. And their sons grew up. And the lessons that they learned from these two women filled their lives, quickened a calling within them. And through these songs, they lived out their lives bring to fruition the kingdom of God. We come to this table to remember Jesus the Christ, Savior of the world. But we also stand at this table with our carol and with our benedictions and goodwill toward all men. We come to this table blessing one another because it is in the space between blessing and singing the revolution of God's kingdom is made known. So tonight we sing. We sing with angels and shepherds and mothers and prophets, all in praise and wonder of Jesus the Christ, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, who would indeed save us all. Let us pray. Holy God, we stand before this, your table. We pray that your blessing upon this bread and this cup will call to mind Jesus the Christ, who poured out his life for each of us. This same Jesus we celebrate tonight, who became flesh, who lived among us, who died and rose again. Holy Jesus, come and be with us now in the breaking of this bread and the taking of this cup, and may we sing your praises.
Thank you.
blessing, a song breaks forth. And it is between the blessing and the singing that the kingdom of God is made known. You have received the blessing of Christ. Now may we sing together to Jesus the Christ. Shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And then we are told in the Gospel of Luke, the child grew and became strong in spirit. Praise be to Jesus our Christ. Merry Christmas.